Duncan Studios welcomes you to the Creepy Basement Show, episode 282, starring, produced, performed, and written by Rich Duncan, with co-host Ernie Hill, and music by Dangerous Toys. This content is offensive and explicit, and is neither work or child-friendly. The opinions expressed within are that of fictional characters. Therefore, the situations contained within this podcast are fictitious as well. Due to the subject matter of the Creepy Basement Show, some listeners may find the Creepy Basement Show offensive. Listener discretion is advised. Here is the star of the show and America's favorite dip, Rich Duncan.
Hi there, and welcome to the Creepy Basement Show episode number 282 of the Creepy Basement Show. Starring me, Rich Duncan, with my co-host Ernie Hill, a special guest, music by Dangerous Toys.
What the fuck?
Where's that drumming coming from? Anyway, welcome to the Creepy Basement Show, episode 282. Starting me, Rich Duncan, with my co-host Ernie Hill. Say again, hello, Ernie.
Hello.
Say again, Randy. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
All right, here we are. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm looking forward to that free slurp. Thank you for listening to the Creepy Basement Show. If you like the Creepy Basement Show, please tell a friend. If you'd like to contact the Creepy Basement Show with comments, compliments, complaints, naked pictures of yourself, you can do so by texting or voicemailing 1-630-943-5119, or you can email the creepycrew@hotmail.com or the creepybasementshow@outlook.com. Where can they email you, Ernie? Fans keep asking me all the time, they're like, where can we talk to Ernie? Because we know that you're abusing Ernie. We know that Ernie needs help. Where can we reach out and talk to Ernie? And I'm just like,
Facebook.
Ernie's private, you know, he keeps his shit real close. Yeah, Ernie Hill on Facebook. I don't know. I message him on there.
And never I'm barely even there.
To me. Never even responds to me. So that's who he is. You won't find a picture of him. All of his Facebook is just skulls with bandanas on.
Because
he's a big, bad biker Ernie guy. And that's who he is. As far as Facebook, would I like to try again? No, but I should. As far as Facebook is concerned, Ernie Hill's a skull with flames behind him and a bandana. And yep. That's how I see him. I keep him behind the curtain. I let him come do the show. I keep him over there in his own little studio. I don't even look at him because I just can't. Like, this Randy guy's probably all confused. He's like, are we here or not here? They're in another room. They can't even see me. So, I don't know. It's just
I think it's a pleasure to be here. It's a great experience. I think you're a hell of a guy. This is a fun podcast. And
I forgot how echoey the bathroom was.
I don't think I've seen your bathroom yet. I'm not quite sure. Now that you mention that, I do need to take a piss.
All right, why don't you go take a piss? All right, so.
TMI.
That's Randy, a special guest here on the show. Another guest that Ernie brought over unannounced. Maybe you remember Jim.
Hey.
Jimmy. Don't call me Jim or Jimmy. Just don't call me late for dinner. That Jimmy. I like Randy better, though. Enjoy the song from Dangerous Toys. We'll be right back here on the Creepy Basement Show, episode 282, starring me, Rich Duncan, with Ernie Hill. Special guest name, Peanut Butter Cup. And, you don't have a say anymore. You're a guest. You so far here on the show. I told you, if you like the show, I'll tell you what. No. Where are those voices coming from? People are listening, but
what?
What are you gonna do? Oh, fuck my face. What do you want to know?
Oh, shut up.
We're supposed to listen to this song.
Song from Dangerous Toys.
Yeah.
It's called "Take Me Drunk, I'm Home," which is pretty true.
Yeah.
I am home, and I am drunk.
Yep.
And you can take me.
Well,
like Donkey Kong taking out little princess.
Yeah, that's quite right.
Anyway, this episode of the Creepy Basement Show. Ernie, who's keeping track of all my fucking paperwork?
I have no idea, not me.
This episode of the Creepy Basement Show is brought to you by Dick's Discount Used Sex Toys. Ernie, did you wash them?
Oh, hell no.
Did you sanitize them?
Absolutely not.
Alright, so, this week's Dick's... I can't feel my tongue. Fuck off. This counts used sex toys. This week's special is no service fees because Ernie's not gonna do nothing to him.
Oh, hell no!
Take it from that nasty bitch and just stuff him right in the box. Probably still have hairs on my shit.
Well, I wear rubber gloves, you know, so I don't contaminate anything. But you know, I'm not guaranteed for anything else.
Alright, yeah, sorry, yeah. It's also brought to you by Special Cuts. The haircut you can't show all your friends, but your special friend is really gonna like. I gave myself one, and then nobody fucking showed up. Go figure, I spent an hour shaving my fucking balls and taint and ass. And... What? You got your peanut butter and my chocolate has something to say. What?
Talk about peanut butter and my chocolate.
And that's what we talk about here on the Creepy Basement Show. So.
keep thinking.
All right, so we haven't done the show in a really long time, Renee.
Yeah.
Do you know the last time we did the show, we talked about how we were going to do my birthday show, an April Fool's Day show, the 420 show.
Absolutely.
And we haven't done any of them. Because I've been working.
All been working.
Huh? What?
We've all been working.
Right? But I've been working a lot.
It's been a horrible time.
It is. COVID sucks. This episode of the Creepy Basement Show was also brought to you by the Lots and Lots of Clots Abortion Clinic. Remember, don't let a $400 problem become a lifetime commit. Right, Ernie?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so what were you guys doing before you came over here?
Working.
Huh?
Working.
What do you do for work? I can't hear you, though. You and Ernie, like, share the mic somehow.
I think I told you I'd give you a free Slurpee.
Oh, you work at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about something interesting, really, point.
I'm talking to
him. Yeah, shit. So, last week I'm talking to this girl on fucking Tinder, right?
Okay.
And she's like.
Tinder says it all.
Right? Exactly. Like.
Okay, so I know where this is going. So, yeah, it's going to take a fucking. I don't have to bust out my calculator for this.
Keep right? Exactly.
Talk to me.
So I'm talking to this girl and she's like, you know, oh, I just bought my third house and, you know, I've worked at my job 25 years and this and that.
That's amazing.
She's like, I'm really interested in your profile. Like, what is the Inner Souls? What's Duncan Studios? What is the Creepy Basement Show?
You mean her husband bought all that and she's on the side in the basement on Tinder?
I don't think this bitch ever got married. She's kind of ugly. But anyway, she's like, you know, what is all this shit on your profile about this and that? And I'm like, well, that's my music and my podcast, which I still do, but, you know, it doesn't make me fucking rich. So I told her right away, I'm like, if you're looking for somebody who's rich, that's not me.
Well, that's her hook. She's talking.
Because I have enough money to do what I want to do. You know what I mean?
What's going on?
But I'm not fucking, like, rich. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even though I'm making money now, I'm not broke like before. It's like, I'm like Honda rich, not Tesla rich. Remember I told you that before? So, you know, she's talking to me and she's like, well, what do you do for work? And I'm like, I work at a liquor store and a restaurant. And so instantly she's like, you wait tables and work at a liquor store for a living? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not trying to fucking be rich. I'm trying to pay my fucking bills. And like, you know, I went through explaining to her how I worked at Meijer for 15 years and had a fucking executive manager job and took all that shit really seriously and shit. You know what I mean? I'm like,
common sense.
I had like a really good professional fucking job before. I don't want to be that guy anymore. You know what I mean? She's like, oh, so you work at a liquor store for a living? And I'm like, I pay my bills. Like, I'm not rich. Like, if that's what you're looking for, I'm not your guy. So then she sent something else to me again that was like, well, how do you manage to like afford all your shit and something? And I'm like,
well, how do you manage to afford yours?
Well, she's been in her job for like 30 years, so she just got lucky.
It takes two. It doesn't matter.
So anyway, I finally just broke down and I told her, I go, bitch, you're not attractive enough to be so fucking judgy. And that was basically the point it came to. It's like, you're not really that attractive. So like, you're not hurting my feelings by saying you work two shit jobs to pay all your bills. You know what I mean? Like,
we all point things.
Right.
No way.
And I've had nice jobs.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Right, and I like my jobs now because I can leave my jobs and come home.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The whole time I was at Meijer, I had to worry about people calling me and all kinds of fucking bullshit.
It's
so it's
a
like,
side show.
Yeah, I work for fucking cash, dude. And you know what? I've worked it out now where I'm making a lot of fucking money.
Oh, yeah.
I've paid all my bills for this month. I spent like $300 at Zen Leaf. Another 160 on my own fucking fun.
Patriot.
Been spending money like fucking crazy just on stupid shit.
Right.
All my bills
you
are paid.
You never had the money to spend.
Right, I
on
never had money.
Shit.
I was buying my fucking cigarettes with quarters and shit.
Yeah.
Like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And now all my bills are paid. I still have $300 in the bank and I'm going to get another $800 before the end of the month.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, I don't give a fuck how anybody thinks about me making my money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like yeah, I work 10 hours a day, 7 days a fucking week. Right. And I don't have time to like hang out with my friends, which pisses my friends off. But at the same time, it's like I don't have somebody else to help me pay my fucking bills, so I have to pay my fucking bills. And like I told you before, I'm just gonna fucking drive this shit as hard as I fucking can. Keep working this hard. Get myself out of debt and fucking if it kills me because I don't get enough downtime or whatever.
I just went back to where I was at originally. I screwed over pretty much a friend of mine, you know. But my thing is, I got sick of being bitched at about fucking everything and have to do with everything, you know. I have to deal with fucking everything. Where I'm at, I do my job, I leave. That's it.
But I mean, I feel it. You know what I mean? Like, when people look at me or, like, with my kids and shit, it's like, I'm 50 fucking 2 years old. I work two bullshit fucking easy jobs. But as long as I'm not being dependent on the government or the state to pay my bills or feed me, I'm not having to put up with somebody that I don't want to be with.
You are not a tax on your fellow Americans.
Right. I'm not a burden on somebody else because they're paying more than my share. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I've never been like this, dude. I got married when I was 17 years old and was married between the three times until I was 45.
Yep.
Like the last 2 years since I kicked Kenny out, this is the only time I've ever been on my own.
Oh, yeah.
And that first year and a half was fucking hard, dude.
Oh, I know.
If I wasn't working at Taco Bell,
dude, I know.
I wouldn't have been fucking eating.
I know.
And like, he was to help me pay my utility bills and shit.
I had the similar problem. I worked at 7-Eleven, and working at 7-Eleven, I was very fortunate that I was a good guy. The owner trusted me. I ate the sandwiches that were outdated.
Right.
You know, I ate the hot dogs. I haven't been to the grocery store in a fucking year. And if you think about it, honestly, if you really think about it.
Like I'm over proud.
Am I proud of that? Fuck. It just is what it is. Different strokes with different folks.
No, you did what you did to have to get by.
Exactly.
And, you know, I don't know. Ernie's known me a long time. When I was with my wife.
Mr. Hill's a great guy.
He is a great guy. He's been my friend.
I love his father. His father's a gem to me.
Yeah. And they raised a good boy. Coddled him a little too much.
Not nothing about that, but I know Mr. Hill.
That's my mother's side of the family, but you know, that's another story.
When he comes
into I'm jealous of you, like I've explained to you.
When he comes into the store, he's got his...
I'm jealous of you because your relationship with your parents, but at the same time, I think you having such a strong relationship with your parents has been hindering you, too.
Oh, well, I have not
always... Because you would have been more independent.
I haven't always been with them. I've been on my own, you know. But up until recently, I have been with them, you know.
No, but I mean, you've done that briefly. But I think if you had been more out on your own, you would have probably had more chances at relationships and stuff and had more than, like, the two you did. You know what I mean?
No, I've had quite a few. I've had 5, 6.
But
and they've all been
time,
long-term, you know.
But at the same time, like I tried to explain to you the other night,
but
I wouldn't trade any of the fucking 100 of bitches or fucking 50 dudes that I've had fucking worship my cock or all the things I've had in my life you've had with your parents.
Can I tell you a story, sir?
Yeah.
My mother abandoned me when I was 6 months old. So I grew up on the east side of Aurora. You know, I graduated East Aurora High School in the mid-90s. That was a fucking shit show. I don't know if you guys remember back then, but it was...
So did my ex.
Well, bottom line, what I'm trying to say is, I didn't have a mother.
Neither did I.
So when going to counselors, these counselors were... And they were always... They were always young girls. Young men. I mean, looking back, they were 22. Just... They had no idea. They were so used to talking to kids without a father that when it come to one without a mother, they were fucking lost. They didn't know what to say.
I had a mother, but my mother was... Thank you, Alfred. My mom was a lot like me. Like, she was more interested in, like, being at peace inside her head, and she had mental issues, which back then they didn't fucking diagnose and shit, instead of my grandparents. But even though I had a mom, I always lived with my grandparents, because my mom always seemed too fucked up to live with. And my dad, like your mom, took off when I was really young, so I didn't have a dad, and
my father raised me.
A fucked up, screw up of a mom.
My father raised me.
I wish my father had raised me.
And because I never had a mother, I missed out on a lot of things. I missed out on that. I missed out on a lot of things.
Before I was 13, I had 3 different last names. That's why you see all this craziness here. And do I want to be a rock star, or do I want to be a dad, or do I want to be a bi guy, or do I want to fucking
be a radio guy?
You know what I mean, though? That's why I have so much confusion.
Absolutely.
And so much scattershot as to what I want to be, is because I don't know who I am.
Well, like I was saying, my mother gave me up at 6 months, and my father raised me, and my father wasn't no fucking young. He had to go move in with his parents to take care of me.
Right.
Because he wasn't bright enough. So I'm not sitting here telling him the brightest crayon in the box or the fucking sharpest tool in the shit. You know, and so there were a lot of things I missed out on. You know, I missed out on the mother figure.
Right.
But don't get me wrong, I grew up tall, I grew up strong, I grew up right. There were a lot of things I missed out on.
I didn't realize how screwed up my childhood was. And, you know, I kind of thought, like, because, you know, in my age group in the early 70s, being, you know, like a kindergartner, first grader, because I was born in 69.
Well,
so
I was born in 79, so I was an 80s baby.
Right, so you're 10 years younger than me. But it was very common for, like, right, for me and Ernie's generation, it was like, you know, 2 out of 4 fucking kids I knew in fucking elementary school and off in middle school and is coming into an adult have like really fucked up house situations where like,
well,
their dad was gone, or their mom was gone.
We were all a little crooked, but you know, back then we all remembered our phone number.
Right, but you know what?
You know, if that makes any sense. We all knew where we came from. We all knew where we stood and where we stand.
Right.
That is something that's a lost trait.
Me and my friend Kimmy were talking about that the other day, because that kid that's missing from Aurora, they got taken when he was like 10 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about that, and I said, well, when you're fucking 10, you know your phone number, your last name, and your address. By the time you're 6, if you're not on the autism schedule,
there was a time
you
when
you should know, you know, your fucking
there was a time when you
phone
knew,
number and your last name, you know, and where you belong.
That shit's gone. It's that, those days are over.
I don't know if it's over.
I tell you, if the lights went out tomorrow, half these people could throw themselves off a bridge. Bet you monkey on it. That's just how dependent a lot of these kids are.
Do you think we're different, though?
No, I don't. No, actually, I'm sure. I think we're different because we grew up. We were Generation X. We grew up, but we were at the cusp of technology.
Me and you are Generation X too.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
It's like 69 through
83
or something.
80. So, you know, we are actually, if you really think about it, gentlemen, we are the last generation of the old school way of thinking.
Yep.
Oh, okay. You want to go that way?
No, we really are. We really are. We really are.
We are the last generation of analog people.
Exactly. We are the last generation of
this. Because think about it. You were, what, 11? You were probably 16, 15, like I was when CDs came out.
I was born in 79.
Right. So when you were like 10, CDs were big.
Cassettes.
And everything. All those albums we had, all those cassettes we had, were no longer any good, dude. Everything in our world went from fucking analog to digital overnight.
I still own a shit ton of albums.
You know, I do too. And that's where I'm stuck. Because this, technically, the way we're recording the show right now, even though this is a fucking digital 8-track recording machine, and it records everything digitally, and it's 8 tracks of bliss, it's still
ancient.
The way I'm recording is analog. Because this turns everything analog. We are, because we're the last generation who's going to remember what it's like.
Stand up.
No.
To think for ourselves.
Exactly. To have a fucking imagination. Yeah.
There's so many reasons for that. No, we are the last
generation. We were the first generation to have video games, for God's sakes.
In our home. Well, yeah.
No.
I remember when I was like 7 years old, we went to Walt Disney World, and Space Invaders was like a month old. And I remember playing it. It was a brand new... Yeah, go ahead.
I remember
it was
Pong,
a brand new fucking video
everything,
game.
Dude.
Everybody was like, this is the newest shit in the world, video games.
Yep.
And
yep.
I was like 7 years old, and I remember we were in the like... the wilderness campground part of Walt Disney World.
No, I've never been there, but nah.
I think about that place a lot now, the older I am.
Never been there. Never wanted to. Because for my mom and dad, it was way, way too much money back then to go to fucking Walt Disney World.
See, that's what makes me appreciate it so much.
I always went up north to fucking Great America.
Dude, my grandparents lived like
Six,
I did.
Six Flags, whatever.
Because I didn't live with my parents. Because I didn't live with my parents, though.
Six Flags.
Right?
Exactly. Around here? You were gifted if you went up there, man.
Right, oh yeah.
That was expensive enough, let alone going to fucking
Florida.
You know. 2,000, almost 1,800 miles. Yeah.
But I think that's why those memories mean a lot to me now as I get closer to the fucking end of my life realizing what people did for me. Because my grandparents were like me, dude. They were like, you know, after the end of the month, they were lucky to have fucking $50 left. But like 8 or 9, maybe 10 times, they took me, my brother, and my sister to fucking Walt Disney World. They took us to World Fair in Chattanooga.
That's amazing.
Like, how the fuck did they do that?
That's amazing that you had this, that you had.
But they didn't do that for my mother. But I didn't realize until later in life the sacrifice that they made.
You're a grandkid. You're a grandkid. That's why they did it.
But they weren't like that to my mother.
Daughter.
I was
you're a great grandkid.
I just appreciate them a lot now that I realize how hard the struggle is just to get through life every day.
Yeah, because they were your parents.
My mom was a fuck up dude like crazy. Yeah. You've heard me tell you stories about like
they
her being
treat
naked
you
and,
better than she.
But
ended
I don't
up.
Know how they did it. Like, if I wanted to do that for Kyle and Haley, I couldn't afford to take Kyle and Haley to Disneyland.
Yeah, but back then, everything was a hell of a lot fucking cheaper.
And they were a lot of credit card debt, too.
There's a lot of ups and downs, left and right for that.
But I've learned, though, because I've been with, like, a lot of people. Like, two of my wives were, like, extremely rich and stuff. So,
that's
I've been with people that, like, have money. And, like, even with my grandparents, I got this sense that, like, money was really no matter. Like, the money wasn't the key part of it. You know, and I think my grandparents very much lived by that sense. Like, you can't take it with you.
Well, they saw a smart kid that they can just there's so many different
areas. Not necessarily smart, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about. They saw their grandkid having fun.
But did I reap off the benefit that they felt guilty for the shit they didn't give my mom?
Yeah, pretty much.
See, I think too much. This episode of the Creepy Basement Show is brought to you by the Dick Duncan Institute of Mental Health. Remember, if your life sucks, you can end it all in one shot. Or curl my health. I'd like to try again. Or you can call my hotline, 1-800-DIE-FAST, for help. Episode 282 of the Creepy Basement Show, brought to you by the Dick Duncan Institute of Mental Health. Fireball, the Miller Brewing Company. Twisted Tea. Dude, do you have a vagina? Bacardi. L&M. Marlboro. Zen Leaf. Go-Go Powder. The show has to have some secrets. Let's see. Wow, we talked for a long time there. I don't even know what we talked about. Fuck. What do you think's next here on the show, Ernie?
Talking about a lot of life.
That's what's next here on the show. Real life. Let's see if that makes some cut. Huh? What? What? It all makes the cut, because once it starts going, I really can't go back and stop it. It's kind of like, you know, I was going to say, you know when you reach that point where you're like, if I stop touching it right now, I won't come? And then you stop touching it, but then it just works out anyway. This episode of the Creepy Basement Show is brought to you by QY Jellies and Jams. Ernie.
Yes?
Do you think you could jelly your fist up someone's ass?
No better than jamming up somebody's ass.
Ernie, you never let me finish my fucking joke anymore. It's like after...
You gotta give me some time. I mean, I gotta work on it.
What would you rather do? Jelly your fist in someone's ass or jam it?
Jelly.
Okay.
At least
we can be friends then.
At least they would show they cared.
Right? Yeah, at least gotta, like, jelly it, spit on it or something.
I mean, it depends on you. Dog, I'm here all day.
All right. This episode of the Creepy Basement Show is brought to you by the Go Fuck Yourself Sex Toy Company.
Come on, I'll go
talk. No one fucks you like you do. Now what, Ernie?
Go fuck yourself.
That's right. One fucking job on this. This episode is also brought to you by the Tap. And that's Tap. Tap? God damn it, would I like to try again? No, I wouldn't. This episode of the Creepy Basement Show is brought to you by... Oh, I have new sponsors. I forgot. Where's that little piece of paper?
Uh-oh.
Oh, this could be fun or a complete train wreck.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
I'm starting my own chain of liquor stores. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Really?
Oh, yeah.
I want to have...
What's the sign?
Butt liquors?
Yeah, butt liquors.
Dit liquors?
With the video games and the videos and the baggies.
Cunt liquors.
Cunt liquors.
Shh. I don't want to talk about that. You gotta wait for Ernie to go. Window liquors.
Window liquors.
Street liquors.
Is that an extra hire?
Maybe. I don't know. So anyway.
How do we classify that?
We don't. Because I really did not prepare for this show. I just kind of wrote down some notes and said, yeah. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if we had a bunch of different liquors to do liquor stores? And it's really not funny. It's not making me laugh, and I fucking wrote it. Butt liquors isn't funny. Bloody Old Stools was a proud sponsor of the Creepy Basement Show. Remember?
Yep.
Our gay Irish still pub.
Is.
Yep. Bloody Old Stools, where the stools are always bloody.
And
the
farts
are always silent. Yep. Bloody Old Stools come around the back door for some hot gay Irish loving.
Yep.
Dude, I forgot. We can make fun of Irish people, right?
Okay.
I mean, they got red pubes, but they can't fucking me to us.
No.
I can't make fun of black people no more. Dude, I used to make fun of black people, Mexican people, and Chinese people.
Now why I go back?
Now I can only make fun of white people.
Fuck society.
Yeah, that was my Uncle Ray. But he was also the same guy who told us this joke every single year at our family picker. Pick that up. Would I like to try again? I'm fucked up. No, fuck it. You guys are even luckier getting a fucking show. This motherfucker right here works 7 days a week, 10 hours a day. We're recording the show only because I had to. We haven't done the show since, like, before my birthday, dude.
Before my birthday.
My birthday, what'd I do? Oh, yeah, I got fucked up. What do we do on 420? Oh, yeah, we got fucked up. What do we do on April Fool's Day? We got fucked up. Yeah, there's been a lot of getting fucked up.
Between my birthday.
Yeah. I got to reel the party in a little bit. But, you know, you can't make irresponsible people responsible just because they have money. I mean, I've been paying my bills, but what I do with the money after that, I mean, no one cares what I do, so I should be able to do whatever the fuck I want, right?
Exactly.
And most of it's legal.
Okay.
Except for the little Asian boys, but that's a whole nother thing. And then... I can't read what this says. Oh. You can find this on the internet. That's what I wanted to say, because I hear that in a lot of podcasts. You can find this on the internet. Just look. I'm Rich Duncan. He's Ernie Hill. He's Randy Reese, I think. Something like that. The last time you brought a friend over was Jim Ellis.
Yep.
And me and him are still friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
And
he's a good guy. Just
I'm a little too weird for him. I think it's because whenever you like think this guy's my friend, this guy should be friends with Rich, you tell them way too much about me before they meet me. Ernie, if he's talking, he has to have the microphone.
I deal with so many people for this, so I know good people.
Right?
Ernie, just over here, he's a great guy. He's a bit of a recluse, I tell you. He comes in one day, you know,
Ernie's fucking different, dude.
He asks for a pack of cigarettes, the next day, he doesn't get to ask. I'm just like, okay, he's pissed off. Like,
I can honestly tell you that...
But his dad's great. I love his dad.
Ernie liked coming over to my house to drink. Because I used to have, when I lived with my wife, like two blocks from here, like this room was like my whole basement. It was just blown the fuck out, dude. I would have bands down there. I had a stage. It was fucking intense.
Nice, really.
That's why it was called the Creepy Basement. Nice. Because we called it the Empty Bottle Show at first, but... Because we always finished every bottle we had when we started the show, so we called it the Empty Bottle Show. But then we realized it was like, shit, I don't even remember, like 10 or 20 podcasts already called the Empty Bottle Show. So I'm like, Ernie, we got to come up with a new name for the show. And I played around with the Dick Duncan Show. No, you came after I named it the Creepy Basement Show. You're right. No, that's what I'm saying. You weren't there for that. But I was like, I gotta figure out something to call this because it's fun. Like, I asked Ernie in the beginning, I would have like 15 people in my basement and fucking. There'd be
music. There's ideas all over the place.
Right. Like, we started doing this podcast. I started doing a podcast like before like podcasts were cool, before like any Yahoo with a fucking laptop was like, I'm gonna do a podcast. We started doing it because there were these guys I worked with at Meijer did a podcast. And I always wanted to get into radio. I mean, I got a degree in broadcasting from Columbia Broadcasting and all that. Like, I really wanted to be in radio. I just never made it. And I'm friends with famous people in radio, like Wendy Snyder. Shout out, Wendy. But I always wanted to do radio, and I wanted to do music. And, you know, these guys at work were doing this podcast, and I listened to it, and I was like, this is stupid. Like, if I was going to do a radio show, I would really do it. Like, it would be loud and have music and sound effects.
You'd make it work somehow.
Kind of like a man cow type show, but...
Absolutely.
I don't know, because people ask me, they're like, how do you describe your podcast? And I'm like, I really can't, because it's not like man cow either. It's like, I don't know, like most podcasts you listen to, there's no music in the background. It's like there's just people talking. There's no sound effects. There's no, like, creativeness.
A lot of real.
It's like, let's pick this topic to talk about, and then that's all we're going to talk about.
And that's all it is.
Right.
That topic. That's it. There's no freedom of just going here or there. It's just what I want you to think of the topic.
And honestly, I would admit it, and anybody who's listening to the show for any length of time, or even new people that I've told about the show, this is just where I fuck around. It's like, this is my imaginary playground where I get to fucking pretend like I'm on the radio.
That's a stepping stone. And then I like that. I like that a lot because it puts things up.
Plus, I have 5 kids, okay? 3 of them are grown adults. Haven't talked to me in, 15 years now? I have like 6 grandkids I've never fucking met.
I won't ask, but the fact that you're saying that's awesome.
It's not anything I did.
No.
At least to the best of my ability. I tried to fix it. I couldn't. But
it's your
products
story.
Of divorce.
It's your story.
Yeah. what did I always used to say? Dysfunction breeds more dysfunction. So what did I think was going to happen? But, you know, at some point in time, my youngest children now are 17 and 15. And I don't know. I like the fact that there's almost 300 hours of me talking out there on the internet that are never going to go away. Dude, my grandchildren, 20 years from now, might be like, oh, I remember my mom saying, you know, her dad was a piece of shit because all he ever cared about was his fucking music and wanting to make music and doing a stupid fucking radio show because that's what he loved, and he never really had a serious job, and he pursued his dreams his whole life. But you know what?
You know, all those things made you.
They did make me.
You know, all those things came together to make you.
To make me who I am now.
Exactly. So sometimes if we try to fix a bug, then we why we can't change. So we work to progress that. It's a weird trait.
I get where you're coming from, man.
I don't know. I can't say, like, I'm really proud of who I am or, like, that I've accomplished anything, but...
Your voice is going to be heard forever.
I've always tried to do the right thing.
We are who we are. I know it rather be right, wrong, left, right, doesn't matter. I see a lot of it. I struggle with it myself. I work in 7-Eleven and some people per day. I don't care if you're right, left, up, down. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. It's hard.
It feels weird though too, because at the same time, like, I always did everything everybody told me I should do, and then, you know, I got married at like 18.
And you did it.
Pretty much married till I was fucking 45 years old, working fucking 12, 14 hours a day every day to fucking...
And now you look back, it was all for naught. You really look back. No, I don't mean all for naught. What I mean to say is, you really look back, it was there. But
a lot of it was though for naught, because, like, I don't know, it's just weird because I don't really have any regrets, but at the same time, if I could do it all over again, I'd do it.
Well, you can't have regrets. If you had your regrets and you had the chance to do it all over again, it would change you. So you are now here. You are now a better thing. So, it's, you did the right thing. You went the right way. And it's so hard. There's so many variations.
Right?
Don't ever say that. No. Word misfortune. I mean, actually, to be honest with you, the way I look at my private life is I went through so much bullshit that I think that bullshit. So a lot of the shit and the horror I went through only smartened me. So I don't kind of look at the shit that I went through in life as something that hurt me. I look at it as something that makes me stronger. And I know that's hard to explain. I know everyone has their own little nooks and crannies, and everyone.
It's really not hard to explain, because.
No, sir. And I know everyone's got their own little ways, and everyone's got their own little. You know, I understand everyone's case is different. Everyone's had a different assessment, and I'm not taking that away. We all had our own different niches. But I like the.
I'm just sad that I wasn't happy with myself until about 2 years ago.
You know, I didn't recognize myself till about 4 years.
And how old are you?
42.
Me, I guess still kind of searching.
Right?
I've been there, done it. Done a lot of shit, seen a lot of shit, but I've been on my own occasionally, you know, throughout my life, But
you know, I think about that too with always, my mom and shit. Like my mom,
I've always lived with my parents. I've my always mom, had my parents in my life all the time, regardless. You know, even if I was out on my own. But now it's just.
But in retrospect and looking back at everything, up until 2 years ago, I was exactly the same as my mother.
Man, most people don't get what I have, you know.
Do what?
I said, well, I'm saying, I can't tell you how many times I've looked back and thought to myself, I could have done things differently, better. And at the same time, I realized, I'm like, holy God, if I would have changed anything, I don't know if I'd still be. So it's one of those situations where it's like you are just doomed to your path, and I take credit and I take love in that.
Me too.
You know, so it's one of those. It's one of those aspects. I mean, I see so many people per day, hundreds, 7-Eleven. I see people coming. I could have 15 people in a line, and in that 15 people, sir, I will see everyone from school kids to millionaires to bums. Hobos, school teachers, all in one line, and I speak to all of them within 2 minutes.
Yep, with respect.
With respect, and they love me, you know, so it's amazing, it's absolutely amazing, you know, the aura of people that are around you.
I kind of sense it from you, and maybe it's just because I'm fucked up, but.
No, I
party, like, which I got a reel in, but I don't keep nothing secret. But I'm partying a lot lately. That's kind of the reason why the show hasn't been getting done is because I've been staying up all night and not sleeping for days at a time and shit. But I could tell kind of from you right away. Although I swear to God, I know you from somewhere, but that's weird. Like I've seen your face before somewhere, but I'm in the liquor store. Maybe it was a 7-Eleven. I don't know.
I'm a great guy.
But
Everyone, you know, I'm a great guy. I've captured the hearts of a quarter of this town.
I can tell right away, usually, when I meet somebody, if they're like,
well,
a fairly decent human being.
It's the aura around them. It's how they carry themselves. It's how they stand. It's how they talk.
Right.
There's no way of faking that.
I think we need that more, though, in the world.
Well, that's a lost trait. That trait.
I don't think people are honest with themselves, which makes it where they can't be honest with.
It's like
reality.
It's like when I see Mr. Hill's dad walk in the store. First thing I do when he walks in, he opens that door. I say, Mr. Hill, Ernie. You know what, sir? He's like, Randy.
Your dad's name's Ernie too.
You know, that's it. It's a lost trait.
When I was born, Richard Michael Davidson III, but because I got adopted and shit, that all went away, so I have no sireship and no family marriage.
I see a woman walk into the store.
That was me.
I hold the door open for her.
That was me.
I hold the door for her. I open the door for her. I welcome her in. She's maybe a gas exchange, something like that. It's just automatic. It's what you do.
Right.
Doesn't take a fucking roadmap or a fucking. It's
you're
what
to the
you
age
do.
Now in your life though that I know that like 7-Eleven, like hasn't been your thing. What other kind of work do you do?
No, hold on. Me and you have a little thing. Me and you have a thing. We're born in fucking late 60s, 69. Now, if you survived the 70s, drinking out of garden hose, eating grass, riding in the back of fucking pickups, shit like that, you know down the highway, you know, that was like survival of the fucking fitness back then.
Dude, I should have died like 15 times when I was a kid. I got hit by cars. I drove motorcycles off a fucking cliff.
You know, like you said, 80s had it a little different, you know.
OD'd on no dose like 15 fucking times.
Remember Dad's little comment that
said,
rub dirt in it?
Mm-hmm.
You rub dirt in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
and they wonder why these kids that they don't let these fucking kids eat. No, these guys garden hoses.
Right?
Garden hoses. Like, you wonder why our immune systems are strong and these kids are fucking.
Exactly.
Dying. I could go on and on about this. That's a whole nother subject for a whole
I have the immune system of a goat.
Are you kidding me? I used to swim in a creek. I used to stay in the creek. River. I used to play. I used to keep frogs in my pocket when I went to bed.
This episode of the Creepy Basement Show. Holy fuck!
I used to catch crayfish. I'd take crayfish, and I would put them on that picnic table, and I'd you know, you couldn't really make crayfish fight, but the only way you can make them fight is when you slap them on top. So you like take one, you body slam, like do that, and get that. And then they start fighting. Oh, that was amazing. And then like back in the day, tadpoles.
Yeah. This episode of the Creepy Basement Show is brought to you by Sid. Sid in here, but
well, in a hurt. She is.
I'd like to thank the live studio audience. I forgot to tell.
Okay.
Would we like to try the show again?
No.
If your friend knew what kind of movies we're gonna make, you think it's to be here.
Mr. Laughing cuts it.
What? This episode of the Creepy Basement Show. What the fuck happened here, Ernie? This show has been nothing like I thought it was. I had shit planned. I didn't even bring out Happy Dick. Did you hear him?
Nope.
Yeah. Do you want to talk to Happy Dick, Ernie?
No.
Are
you
sure?
I'm good.
He's a new character for a show. He's white, dude.
We
don't have to worry about getting Me Too'd or like said that we're racist because he's white. I've known him my whole life.
I'm sure you have.
Say hello to Ernie, Happy Dick.
I'm good.
Did you hear him?
Yeah, okay.
Happy Dick, do you want to be on the show? He does. Should I put him on the show?
Do we have Happy Dick?
It's entirely up to you. It's your show.
Are you going to stay behind the curtain?
Oh, yeah.
Are you guys going to stay behind the curtain over there so you don't see Happy Dick?
Oh, yeah.
Because he's shy and sensitive, like foreskin.
Well, it's like Oprah show. I mean, do we need keys on that chair? It's fine.
You might have to leave your friend here.
Yeah.
Happy Dick wants to come out.
All right. There's something I didn't know.
So the idea for Happy Dick was... Half the time, you were only going to hear him talking like, and then when I unzip my pants and I go,
then you hear me talking.
Okay.
Get it?
Hi, honey. I'm Happy Dick. Say hello.
Make sure
right, I'm going to zip him back up.
Opposite direction.
I put him back away.
Let it go, just make sure you're in the opposite direction.
They won't know where I'm going.
Kitty, you don't get to be on the show. Damn it. This episode of the Creepy Basement Show is brought to you by Mambla. Grown adults for the love of children. Or something like that. I don't know. Ernie, tell us about it.
You ordered?
My what?
What?
What? Remember Captain Creepy?
Hi, boys and girls. It's Captain Creepy here with his friend, Captain Crappy. No, you're not Captain Crappy. You're Crappy the Clown. God damn it. When I got out of prison, I'm fucking you all in the face.
Kids love us, Ernie.
Oh, no. There's the scary thought.
Thundercats. You can tell he was born later than us. I didn't watch Thundercats. My little brother, he was a pussy, he watched it. Speaking of Nick at Night, did you watch Saturday Night Live with Elon Musk and fucking Miley Cyrus? Oh my god, I want to fuck Miley Cyrus. I'd suck Billy Ray's dick. Just what the fuck?
I've watched this episode
of the Crew Basement Show is brought to you by. What?
I said I've watched the porno. I'm good.
With Miley Cyrus? Huh? You did?
Giving head. Yeah. Unless that was like a fake.
I can't imagine. That reminds me.
I can't imagine anyone really started to fixate on what the fuck is.
It was just a fleeting thought. Now I want to fuck Whoopi Goldberg. Or John Goodman.
I'm sorry for that.
Or John Goodman.
Or John Goodman.
Or how about John Belushi? Yeah, that dog
and
Dana.
Well, that'd be like necrophilia.
If you died while I was fucking you, I wouldn't stop. Really? Until I finished. Do you know my ex?
I have no comment for that one.
That kind of content you only get here on the Creepy Basement Show. Do you know my creepy fucking abusive ex? Was fooling around with somebody. The guy had a heart attack. He died. He finished, left, and then went and called me.
You know how many women have fucking rolled their men that died of a heart attack and didn't realize it was over? Happens all the time.
Garp's dad.
Who?
The World According to Garp. Did you ever see that?
Just because he got his dick bit off, though.
Well, dick's getting bit off is where we might want to wrap it up. If you'd like to contact the show, you can do so by texting or calling 1-630-943-5119 or emailing thecreepycrew@hotmail.com or thecreepybasementshow@outlook.com. You can find me, Rich Duncan, on Facebook. You can find The Creepy Basement Show on Facebook. You can find The Inner Souls, my music. I am a solo artist because I'm the only one who will play with me if I have to play with myself. So you can find me on Facebook as well. The Creepy Basement Show, The Inner Souls, Rich Duncan, Ernie Hill, Randy Peanut Butter Cup Guy Reese. Find us all on the internet. That's what we do, right?
Yep.
Shit. Alright, so. What?
Huh?
Ooh. Are you guys talking in that on the show?
I don't know. Are we?
It's so hard to get good fucking help these days.
I don't know why I'm going to start asking.
Hmm? I think.
Oh my god.
This episode of the Creepy Basement Show has been brought to you by the alcohol. Dirty Dick Dancers. Alcohol. Go-go powder. Zen Leaf for all your recreational marijuana needs. What do you have to add, Ernie? What do you have to thank for the show? What made the show possible for you? Other than me letting you hang out with me.
That's a pretty hard choice there.
Well, I think this man is a great guy. He's a very cool cat. I'm very happy to be here and very happy to participate in our cat's cool. So I'm fortunate. It's very nice. First time here, so
You can blow me, but I don't share my drugs.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
unless you blow me. Anyway, this episode of the Creepy Basement Show has been brought to you by the Lots and Lots of Clots Abortion Clinic. Fun random guests. This has been fun, though. Threw us off kilter, but I think we actually had more substantial conversation. Because usually we talk for like 3 minutes and then we go into a bunch of stupid bits and then I say, listen to this song. And we talked about childhood drama. We talked about how we're not gay, but we like to lick dick. Oh, wait, that was off the show. I'm sorry. The manager of the Creepy Basement Show would like to apologize for the content here. All the stuff here on the Creepy Basement Show is fictitious. The characters involved within here are fictitious and situations are completely fictitious as well. Remember, it's your book, it's your movie, write it how you want. Ernie, we never talked about news.
Yeah, I guess
COVID's going away. Did you get vaccinated?
No, hell no. I do not want a magnet sticking in my arm where the shot got pushed.
What about you, Peanut Butter Cup?
No, I'm in my fucking ouchie
bouchie. What? I can't hear you because he's holding the mic by his...
I don't need my ouchie bouchie.
I like that.
Maybe you just never had anyone do it right. But news, COVID.
No, I don't know if you understood the concept of what I just said.
You don't have one of those rosebud buttholes, do you?
You know what? You call me Blossom. Call me Blossom.
He gets it. He's seen it, dude. Me and him, I just called you Duty. Ernie, I called you Duty. I think it's almost time to end the show. He watches the same kind of porn I do. I like him. Not all cream pies come out of girls. That's just some friend. Dude, did I tell you this week? I started quoting God. Because if God is real, then he can stop me, right?
Uh-oh.
So my first quote from God this week was, if you love something, kill it. If it comes back to life, it loved you too. Think about Jesus. God sent him here to get killed. He came back to life. When you die, you're reborn if you love God, right? So wouldn't God say that? If you love something, kill it. If it comes back to life, it loved you too.
No comment.
And then God's lawyer called and said...
I dropped the mic.
That's what it is. Never has a point, but always ends it on a point. And then my second quote from God this week was... If you kill someone, cut them into pieces... Then eat them, and they'll become your feces.
Again, I dropped the mic.
There was a lot of cannibalism in the First Testament.
I'll tell you what. I'll fucking look at that fucking book. How about that?
Oh, I'm not even getting
involved. We got like 4 minutes left on the show. We ain't discussing God or Scientologists or Ron L. Hubbard or aliens. I am my own God. What if I am God?
I still drop the mic and walk away.
Maybe that's why I have the talents I have. Anyway,
your God, we're all fucked. In ways than one.
I'm glad you got a kick out of that, Ernie.
The look on your face, it was priceless.
How can you not see the glory that is me?
Oh my God.
Due to technical difficulties and a reorganization of the Creepy Basement Show management fucking... We'll be right back. Are you done yet? Jesus Christ, it's hard to get good help. Fuck, Ernie. Oh, want to make a movie? What am I looking for here? Oh, there we go. They love us, Ernie, see?
At least somebody does.
Right? This is the actual story of our life right here.
Yep. Can't get it started.
This has been... Oh, my God. This has been a train wreck, dude.
But it was a fun train wreck.
All right, you say so.
It was interesting, put it that way.
I didn't even do all my drugs. All right, so this has been the episode. This has been the episode again, dude. Would I like to try again?
No.
When I fucking sound retarded. That's why we haven't done the show. Anyway, this has been episode 282 of the Creepy Basement Show, starring me, Rich Duncan, and my co-host Ernie Hill, and his friend Randy, and yeah, we just got fucked up and recorded us talking because, yeah, I set out, I was going to try to do good this time.
I thought it was good.
I failed again. It reminds me of all those times I masturbate and just fall asleep without even coming.
Well, that sounds like a personal problem.
That is a personal problem. Because my back is fucked up. Oh, I need a fleshlight. If you'd like to buy me a fleshlight, you can send a fleshlight. A fleshlight to 303 South 3rd Street, St. Charles, Illinois. Do you want a fleshlight, Ernie?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm not sharing mine with you.
Oh, no, I didn't think so. Don't want to. I'm good with my hand and my imagination and my phone porn. Thank you.
This episode of the Creepy Basement Show is over. Say goodnight, Ernie.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, peanut butter boy. All right, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened here. Maybe next episode we'll do an episode.
Reese's Pieces.
Found home. Nothing from home. Nothing from home. Huh? All right. Later. Say goodnight, Ernie.
Goodnight.
Go fuck happened.